you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you, we're glad you're here.
Reading from Psalm 119, verse 105.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. That's Psalm 119, verses 105.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, September 19th, 2025. Oh, listening friend, if you love God's word, you're going to love this program. And if you're unfamiliar with God's word, I hope you'll tune in for the next 20 or 25 minutes, because we're going to talk about something that God likes to have you know about, because it reveals his character. The Bible is many stories where he interacted with a people, but it conveys truth and wisdom, and the Psalms are filled with poetry and information that lets us know who God is and his character. It's like a owner's manual. God wants us to know different truths about how we can live righteously, but it's also a love letter where he demonstrated his love in so many different ways. And so as you read it, or maybe it'll be the first time you start opening it up, trust me, as you ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten your mind, to guide you as you read it, you will find yourself falling more in love with God and realizing the truth that he loves you too. So on today, the Friday edition of Mark and Friends, joining me in the studio are some great friends. We had kind of a little small group discussion going on here on a number of topics, and there was some very tasty treats. So if you want to join us, call ahead, because we tend to meet every couple weeks. But we had watermelon and cheese and snacks and cheese bread and warm chocolate chip cookies right out of the oven. They just kind of melted in your mouth. So join us as we always have a great time before we begin with the broadcast. But today was read Psalm 119, 105 from Tad. And that talks about your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's word isn't just good advice. It's our compass. It's our foundation. It's our guiding light in the dark world. And today we're going to talk about what it means to love God and love others, and how his word equips us to live with purpose and direction. So I hope you can tune in. And if you miss a portion of today's broadcast or can't listen the whole time, stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org, and you can listen anytime under the Mark and Friends tab. And joining us is Pastor Mark Johnson. He loves God's word. He proclaims it each and every Sunday at Calvary Church here in Springfield. And it was his desire, his passion, to discuss this topic over the air, because he wants us all reading God's word so we can know God better.
Yeah, good. The last couple of sessions, we've talked about the word, and we've talked about it being a tool to teach us and make us complete for every good work. We need the word in our lives to work like a compass. Mark, as I prayed about today, I just feel like there's someone, maybe several people, that you're just filled with worry. You have something going on in your life, and this worry about it is just kind of eating you up. One of the places where we find security when times are troubled in our life is we find it by looking back and saying, have I obeyed the word in this? If I have obeyed the word, then I have the promise of God's keeping me, of God's outcome being in my life. Now, if I haven't kept the word, let's say I've raised my kids, but I haven't taken them to church, I've let them be under bad influence, I haven't been faithful in front of them, and now I'm looking at their life and it's just kind of a train wreck, and I'm filled with worry about them. Well, I don't have any security. The only security I have in that moment is to come back to God, to repent, to ask for God's mercy, to go to those children and apologize for not being faithful in raising them, and then praying for the Spirit of God to redeem what I've lost. But if I've been faithful, if I have been faithful, I brought them to his house, I've lived his word in front of them, I've made sure that the influences in their life are right, now I can hold on to the promises of God that he's going to keep them. And so if you're filled with worry or fear today, I want to encourage you to examine, how did you get to this place? What's brought this on? Troubles come on sometimes to test us. Sometimes they come on just to reveal God's glory through us. But what's brought you to this point? And if you need to repent, then come to God, repent, turn to Him, apologize to those you need to apologize to, make the path right. If you've been living the right way, then hold on to the promises of God.
Today I've titled this program, The Word, capital W for the Word, as a foundation. And I'm thinking, listening friend, there might be some of you that are tuned in today and you're thinking to yourself, well, I've always looked at the Bible as a storybook or fables or good literature, not as God's holy inspired word that is perfect and inerrant and is truthful. And so I hope as you tune in, you're going to find yourself realizing that this just isn't some great literature, a great book, some nice writings. This is the very breath of God to instruct us, to encourage us, and to reveal His character and His love for you. So as you look at the Bible, don't look at it as this old archaic book or something that people follow. Look at it as the very words of God for you. And as you read it and as you pray, God, help me understand this truth. I trust that He will reveal Himself to you through it.
Mark, I'm curious for those in this room today. Has there been in a specific instance where the Word has become a lamp to your feet and changed the direction of your life?
Well, I would say, Mark, that I had what I would call my Gideon moment. It was 18 years ago.
Now, explain that, because some listeners, what's the Gideon moment? Is that a person? Is that a place? What's a Gideon moment?
Yeah, Gideon had an experience in the Old Testament where he won a battle where he knew it was not due to him or his men because the odds were so incredibly against him, and he was forced to accept that God's hand was involved in that. Mm-hmm. I had my Gideon moment 18 years ago when we had just moved into a new house, and we had in one bedroom our twin 4-year-olds and our 2-year-old. And a few months into living there, the twins at 4 years old started having nightmares and wetting the bed. And we would run down the hall and comfort them and clean them up, put them back to bed. And the next night it happened again, the next night it happened again, the next night it happened again. This went on for a whole month. And, you know, we're wondering, gosh, do we need to take them to a psychiatrist? What's going on? And then one night it happened again. And my wife grabbed one, and I grabbed the other, and I comforted him. And then I leaned back and looked at him, and I saw in his eyes a look of horror that scared me. And all of a sudden, the light bulb went on for me. And I said to my wife, I said, this is demonic. And we had just started a new church recently, too, a church where they talked about the Holy Spirit. And so my radar was sensitive to this. And so we cleaned them up, put them back to bed, and we prayed over them. And my wife went first. She prayed in a way we'd never prayed before. She prayed with authority and demanded that the demons leave our house and that the kids be protected by God. And sure enough, the next night, when we prayed over them proactively, when we put them to bed for the first night in a month, no bedwetting, no nightmares. The next night, no bedwetting, no nightmares. The night after that, we'd been out to the fair, and when we got home, the kids were sleeping back in the vans. We thought, oh, they're already asleep. We'll just throw them in bed. Sure enough, they had nightmares and bedwetting again. So we always prayed over them every night after that. And I'm not a mathematician, but I kind of played with the odds, and I realized that the odds that they would have nightmares when we did not pray for them, and they did not have nightmares the nights that we did pray for them over that month period, it was about 1.4 billion to one. There was no natural explanation for that. That was our Gideon moment.
There's a great movie, Secondhand Lions. And in this movie, these two older guys are raising this younger kid, a nephew. And they buy some seed off of this traveling salesman. And they plant this garden, and they're expecting to get all kinds of different plants to grow out of that garden. At the end of the day, it's all corn. Every one of them is corn. And they realize they've been ripped off and deceived by this salesman. You know, when we look at the seed and what's coming up in our life, we don't always get what we want. We get what we plant. And so the Word of God teaches us what to plant and how to plant it. So if I'm not getting the outcome that I want, what I believe to be God's will in my life, then I need to look, first of all, what's the seed I'm planting? I remember as a young man really having a great love for some people, and trying to minister to them, but not seeing the fruit that I wanted, not seeing the relationship I wanted. In fact, I was kind of repelling them more than attracting them. And I finally had to come to this conclusion. Am I doing this the way God would have me to do this? Or am I doing this in my own ability, in my own skills, in my own character? And I had to repent of some things and turn to some things. But the Word became the guidance for that. The Word became what was clear in that. That happens in marriages. That happens in raising our kids. That happens in our finances. Are we obeying the Word? It is a lamp to our feet if we'll allow it to be.
And I'm thinking, Mark, this might help some listeners, and I know it's an unusual wording, but the Word, we know that verse, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So there's a little play where Jesus is the Word, kind of God's manifestation here on earth, and yet the Word of God, the truth of God, is spoken not only through Jesus, but through the Holy Spirit as we read the Word, the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, our Bibles, and that really does provide that light, that lamp, that direction, the focus that we should take to not only know God, but to serve Him and to love others and learn how to serve them as the Scriptures give us so many examples. But when I was a child, I knew that was God's Word. That was His inspired Word, as it says in Hebrews. So when I read it, I ask God to teach me and prepare me for the day or help me understand what I should do in my life to learn to love You and to love others. So listening friend, if you pray when you read God's Word, just ask Him to reveal truth to you, to show you that it's real, that it's applicable, that it's truthful, and that it reveals Jesus. All of Scripture from the Old Testament, what we call the Hebrew Scriptures, Genesis chapter 1, all the way through Revelation, it always points in various ways to the Lord Jesus Christ, who was the Word.
You know, Mark, we're walking through life and we're so inexperienced. There's a great song that was sung when I was a kid. It was called Cats in the Cradle. Mm. And it talks about this dad raising a boy that he really loves him, but he's always too busy. He's always got something going on. He's too tired. Something's happening. And he doesn't spend a lot of time with his son. And then the son grows up. And guess what? How the son treats him. At the end of the song, he says, it suddenly dawned on him, he's grown up just like me. If we want to avoid the mistakes, we need to turn to the Word of God and say, what is the Word of God put as the priority of our life? Every belief system has a foundation of where it goes to that bears fruit. So if my foundation as a dad is I've just got to make money and I've got to bring money into the house and that's how I'm going to show my kids that I love them, there's an outcome to that. Mm-hmm. If it's I want to be in charge of everything and everybody's got to obey what I do, there's an outcome to that. We've got to look to the Word and see what the Word teaches us to do. So let me give us the foundation of all of our thinking from the Word of God. We're going to read a passage from Matthew, and I want you to hear this and listen to it carefully. It's Matthew chapter 22, verse 37.
Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments."
Okay, so when it says all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments, who can tell us a little bit about what you think that means?
That was Jesus' reference for the Scripture, because the Hebrew Scripture was divided up into the Torah, the Pentateuch, first five books, and then there was the law, and then there was the prophets. So when he's saying the law and the prophets, he's saying the entire Scripture is based on this principle.
Yeah, anybody have any other thoughts on that?
And the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, anybody else?
It reminds me of John 17:17, where Jesus was praying to his Father, and he said, "Your word is truth." So God's word, whether it was the law or the prophets or anywhere throughout the Bible, from the first verse to the last verse, it's all the one and only truth in our universe.
Now, I want everybody to think about this with me for a second. I wish I was smart enough, but I'm not. I'm not smart enough to memorize all of the law. I can't take it and grab it and know all of it. What Jesus is showing us here is if you get these two right, If you love God right and you love others right, if you love God, you want to please Him. That's what that's meaning. I live my life to please God. Did my words today please God? Did my actions today please God? Did the things I did today please God? If I do that, and if I live with a love, wanting the best for others, putting others, as Paul writes, before myself, if I do those two things right, then I will fulfill all the law. I don't have to know all of it. I just have to have a right spirit. That's the revelation that comes to us right there. Now, I've got to watch my spirit and say, am I doing what's pleasing to God, and am I treating others with love and with kindness?
Yeah, if we don't love others, we're not loving His creation, and therefore we're disrespecting God. So we need to love God and love His creation.
1 Corinthians 13 tells us, if you do all these wonderful things, if you move mountains and you have great faith and you do wonderful prophecy, but you don't do it out of a spirit of love, he says a clanging cymbal. Well, if you've ever been around a little kid clanging a cymbal, that's just annoying. There's no beauty in that at all. And then he describes what love is to us in the rest of that chapter. So we can know, did I act in kindness? Did I act in patience? Did I act in these ways? So I know the very character of God and what character should be in me.
You know, Dave, you referenced the importance of praying over your children at night and how God worked through that. And you learned about prayer through reading His Word and understanding God delights when we have conversation. I know on Tuesday and Wednesday earlier this week about Rick Warren and the importance of prayer. And prayer should be foundational for all of our lives, and pray throughout the day. And they don't have to be long and involved prayers. They can be very simple prayers. But you applied that truth, asking the Holy Spirit to be present, watching over your children at night. And you sought that wisdom because you knew God's word. And Mark, what I also love about why we're doing this series is oftentimes people will share their own opinions or feelings or thoughts about God's word, but not really what God's word is saying. And I think maybe next week we're going to talk about different translations and different things to be aware of, but it is important that we don't formulate our own opinions. What does God's word say? How is it verified by other portions of Scripture? And how do people that know God's word also interact with maybe your thoughts or feelings? Because God's word can be known and understood.
You know, years ago, Mark, our school had a soccer team. And my dad got a letter from one of, I think they call them referees. I'm not a big soccer guy. I think refs. From a referee at the game. And he described a person on the sidelines in detail. I mean, when I saw the letter, I knew exactly who he was talking about. I knew the people that were out there. I knew who the guy was. And he talked about this man and his language and how he talked to the refs. And how that should be an embarrassment to a Christian school. Well, now this ref didn't know whether that was one of our fans or somebody else's fans, but it happened to be one of our fans. And my father made a point to talk to the man. And as they were talking, my dad showed him the letter, and his response was, well, you know, when you get upset, that's just the way you react. He goes, for instance, he asked my dad, what would you say if you hit your thumb with a hammer while you were working on something? And my dad said, I would say, ouch. You know, that's what I would say, ouch. That's what I would say.
Yeah.
Because the word had been a lamp to my dad's feet that would direct him. Now, he wasn't like that as a young man. As a young man, he was completely different than that. But the word had taught him how to think and act differently. We have to be open to thinking and acting differently. And we have to understand that in the world we live in, not everybody thinks like us. So, I shared this with you earlier, Mark. We have a tendency to see the world through the way we think. The biggest liars I have ever known thought everybody else was lying to them. The person with lust in their heart, guys with great lust, thought you had lust in your heart, and they would try to appeal to that because we think people think like us. Well, God is trying to change our thinking. He's looking at us saying, your heart is deceitful. Here's how you should be thinking. And he gives us these two commandments and says, this is where it begins, right here. Love me, want to please me in everything you do, even when you hit your thumb with a hammer. Live for me in everything that you do, and love others, want the best for others. But we're living in a world today that doesn't think like us. We've seen this demonstrated in what's happened with Charlie Kirk. You know, if somebody came to me today and said to me, Mark, I disagree with Christianity completely. I disagree with the foundation of Christianity. I disagree that Jesus is really the Son of God. My assumption wouldn't be that they hated me. My assumption would be that they disagreed with me. And that we could talk, and we could talk back and forth, and we could work through the details of things. I wouldn't celebrate their death. I wouldn't celebrate them being murdered. I would be sorrowful if that happened, because the Word of God shows us how to see people even when we disagree with them. So today in America, I'm told 50 to 70 murders a day. Think of all the broken families every day, day in and day out across America. Now that's not thinking like God at all. That's not thinking like Christ at all. Someone that can go and take somebody else's life, no matter what they've done. And I just think we need to pray for all those families and ask God to give comfort and to heal the violence in America.
Amen and amen. And Pastor Mark, what a powerful reminder of God's Word, that it really is our foundation. It lights the way and anchors us in His truth. Without it, life is chaotic and heartbreaking. With it, there's hope, healing, and direction. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast, want to listen to it again or share it with a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org, and you can listen to it anytime under the Mark and Friends tab. Now, we're going to continue this discussion next Friday on the importance of knowing God's Word, how it's relevant to your life, and the very power of the Word of God, the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. So I hope you can tune in again at the same time. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Mark Johnson, and a room of friends with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and weekend.